Christian home that we are continuing on, I want us to look at holy women. Holy women. Now, we often think of holy men in the Bible, and that's spoken of in 2 Kings chapter 4, where the Shunammite woman spoke of Elijah, and she said he is a holy man. But the Bible also speaks of holy women. God's word says this in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 5. For after this manner in the old time, the holy what? Women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Now in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15, the Bible says, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6, for thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. You know, God's people are to be holy people. You know, you don't hear much of that word anymore, but you know what? That is the main attribute of God. That's his main characteristics. You know, you would think today that all you hear about is the love of God, do you not? And you would think that is the most important thing that God is supposed to be known for, but such is not the case. It's about four times more mentioned in the Bible that he is holy. And so he wants us to be what? Holy people. Does he want men to be holy? Obviously. Does he want women to be holy? Obviously. Now, in this perverse world, people should be able to observe a Christian woman and her manner of life, and they ought to be able to say that she is a holy woman. There should be a distinct difference between a Christian woman and those around in the world. We have a great need for holy women today. Now, you say, oh, preacher, you're meddling now. You know, that's none of your business, how I live. Well, you know what? We need to speak plainly about this thing, do we not? And the reason we need to speak plainly about it is because the Bible does so. You know, there's a great need, and it needs to be emphasized. We're living in a world that is swaying back and forth, going all kinds of different directions, aimlessly drifting, and this matter of holiness is absolutely essential for God's people. Notice the master of the holy woman. Now, the holy woman has a master, and that master is the what? Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, notice the first word. It says, likewise. Then it goes on to say, you wives, likewise. Now that, of course, is referring to something that preceded it. And the reference is to Jesus Christ. Notice what it says in verse 21 through 25 of chapter 2 of 1 Peter. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Now, here we see Jesus. Now, think about this. Now, we believe in a triune God, do we not? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Correct. Three in one. Now, the Lord Jesus is co-equal with God the Father. He is also co-equal with God the Holy Spirit. Yet he willingly humbled himself, taking a place of submission so he could dwell amongst men and be the sacrifice for sin that we needed. Now, the wife, I want you to understand, is no less value than the husband. Do you hear that, guys? But the wife is to be like Christ in humble submission to her husband's leadership. Now, Christ left us an example of submitting himself. And he willingly, what? Suffered for us. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives." Now, the example God gives for the submission of the wife to her husband is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me ask you. When Jesus was here on the earth, he always did that which pleased his Father. Never one time was he out of communion with him, except one time, and that was when he died on the cross and became sin for us. And that's why he cried, my God, why hast thou what? Forsaken me. But he was always in submission to his Father, was he not? Now, this verse deals with the wife who is a Christian and is married to a man who is not a Christian. Now, notice it doesn't say that, you know what, get rid of him. Doesn't say divorce him. It doesn't say leave him or forsake him. What you're supposed to do if you're married to an unsaved person is to win him to the Lord. Now, you're not supposed to marry him to begin with. Let's get that settled. This happens to be probably, you know what, the wife got saved one day and the husband was unsaved. That, you know, but God's people are not to marry the heathen. It's not supposed to happen. Amen. Now, this situation happened to be in our marriage. Connie got saved. We were two heathens when we got saved, or when we got married. Yeah, we were two heathens when we got saved too. But anyways, we were two heathens when we got married. Then she gets saved. Now, that's an amazing thing, isn't it? Now she's yoked up with a heathen husband. So what did she do? Was she concerned about her husband's soul? Oh, you better believe she was. And you know what? She lived such a life that pleased God at that time. About 2 weeks later, I got born again. I was one. A lot had to do with me coming to Christ was watching my wife and how she had changed and how she manifested the life of Christ in a matter of weeks. Now, the Bible says by their manner of life that they can win them to Christ. And they do so by submitting to their authority. You know, ladies, you are to live the Christian life day by day. And you are to give witness to that Christian life by how submissive you are to your husband. Did you hear that pin drop? Okay. I didn't hear a bunch of amen from the women. You know, the Bible explains that the wife can say what she wants, but if her life does not back up her words, she's not going to win her husband to the Lord. Yeah, I remember in the first pastorate I had, we had this lady, she was a nurse, and I don't know if you remember her, but she came quite infrequently, not real steady. But she always put on this piety when she was in church. And she had a husband who wasn't saved. And I couldn't figure out why. And then one day I was talking to somebody that was related to her. And I said, man, what's with that, you know, her husband? How come he's not saved? And I said, you know, she seems to be such a godly woman. He started laughing. And said, that's not the way she is at home. She's a regular she-devil. Now, did she have a testimony of salvation? Obviously, she did. But she couldn't win her husband because of the manner in which she lived. Now, that's a crying shame. You see, our lights ought to be shining brightest where? And I'll be honest with you, I find living a Christian life at home a whole lot easier than anywhere else. But I'm telling you, if you ain't living it at home and you're putting on a show here, you ain't got much. You ain't got nothing your husband wants. You ain't got nothing what your children want. Now, the holy woman has a master. She realizes that her master is Jesus Christ, and she allows her husband to be Lord over her in the human relationship of marriage. She places herself in submission to her husband. And husbands, you need to make it easy for your wife to do so by being submitted to Christ yourself. Now, submission seems to be a dirty word today, doesn't it? And it is to many people. But Christ has left us an example of submission. The holy woman submits herself, and she places herself in subjection to her husband. She does not try to lead him. Not conniving. Not scamming and scheming to get her way and manipulating him. When he says no, what do you think no means? No. Should that settle it? It doesn't mean maybe, does it? So that should mean it's over. Does it need to be brought up to the next day? I don't think so. No means no. If he says yes, it means what? Now here's the thing, husbands. You ought to take your wife into consideration. You know, I never make a big decision without telling Connie about it. Just won't do it. I think she's got some wisdom about her, and she needs to be involved in that. Hey, let's say I make a big purchase. Don't you think that involves her? It involves the family income. Now, for me to go about and do that all on my own, I think is reckless. She needs to be involved, and we need to be on the same page, don't you think? Well, that just sounds to me like you ain't the man. No, that's just calling, you know, that's just bringing honor to the weaker vessel. Amen. Would I want her going out and make that big purchase? No. I think she should tell me about it. Now, the holy woman submits herself. And we must understand that God's word is not teaching the husband is more valuable than the wife. Now, in certain cultures, that seems to be the case. But that should not be in Christianity. Submission is not for value. It is for unity. It is for function in the home. It is for you and the husband to fulfill their God-given role. There is but one head in the home. Two heads make a monster. And that one head is in a female. Now, if you're not submissive to your husband, think about if your home is blessed with children. Your children now learn rebellion from you. They see your example. They see your lack of submission. And they learn rebellion from you. Now, here's the thing, and it's not always the case, but vastly it happens to be. You know, let's say you're a dominating woman, right? Have you ever met one? Okay. Yeah, I look in the mirror. Okay. For some, that may be true. Now, you're a dominating woman. Let's say you have children. Let's say you have young boys. You spend most of your time rearing the kids. The husband's at work. And then when he comes home, you tell him what to do. How do you think your boys are going to be? You think they're going to be the heads of their home? Or do they think that this is a normal thing that the wife beats down the husband every chance she gets? And what if you have a girl? What do you think her role in the home is now? Don't you think she's thinking that she's in charge? You're the example. Now, that's pretty sad, isn't it? You know, I've known somebody who's has two boys. Both of them have wives that run the home. And the reason is she does too. That's an abomination as far as I'm concerned. That's horrible. And then yet, she wants her boys to buck up and be a man. Now, that's unbelievable to me. This is what you raised. This is the example you gave them. Pretty sad, isn't it? Some of us ought to be crying, woe's me. You know, if we could dissect our society and take a long, hard look at the source of our problems as a nation, where do you think it would boil down to? It would boil down to the family or the home. Our homes need holy women who know the Lord, trust in the Lord, don't get all frazzled and worried and fretting, and are submissive to their husbands. When I was growing up, our nation was known for that. Not known for that anymore. And here's one of the... it's not always the case, I understand. But you ever notice how many younger women drive the cars and their husbands sit there in the passenger seat? That's a good indication who's driving that relationship. I never saw that growing up unless the man was injured or crippled and couldn't drive. Never. You know, my dad, when he said, all right, let's go, he never said, honey, can I drive today? Never happened. Never heard such things. Amen. How'd it go with you and your husband when your kids were growing up? Was mama always driving? She drove that relationship, I guarantee it. You know, when I had a young family, I couldn't imagine walking out of the house, going somewhere, and Connie hops in the driver's seat. I said, what are you doing? Get out of there. That's not your seat. What are you doing? Have you lost your mind? Am I not able to drive? Well, you would have faced the wrath of Connie. It would have been worth it. It would have been worth it. Yeah, because I don't plan on giving up the headship of my home to any woman. Just a thought. Now, there's a distinction in the life of holy women's lives. They don't pattern their life after the world. The Bible speaks very plainly about this in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 2. While they behold your what? Chaste conversation coupled with what? Fear. Now the word conversation has more to do with our manner of life, much more than what we say. Now what are you known for, ladies? Are you known for holiness? Are you known for wagging that tongue? Did you hear that? Ask yourself. The Bible says that a holy woman's chaste conversation of life is coupled with fear. Now notice the word fear in verse 2, and then there's a word fear in verse 6, or verse 6 tells us that we're not to be afraid. You know, if we fear God like we should, we're not going to be afraid of man. As we fear God, we do not fear men. And when that happens, you know what? We got a great calm in our life. Now, the word chaste means to be free of that which is lewd. That's what it means. Now, it means to have a pure thought life. It means to seek to live a pure life. Now, do you think you're going to have a pure thought life when you're watching filth, listening to profanity? Come on now. Watching actors portraying that they got sex on TV? Browsing on Facebook, find out all the juicy gossip about others? Probably not. Now, it also means, you know what? You ought to dress properly. You know, any guy out there with any sense of holiness about him is appalled at what women are willing to wear outside their home. Now, I'm well aware, I'm aware that the apparel doesn't make one spiritual. I understand that. What you wear on the outside doesn't come in by osmosis to the inside. I understand that. But I'm also aware that what you wear outwardly is a reflection of what you are inwardly. One can improve their testimony for Christ by giving more thought to your behavior as a Christian. Now, I wonder what your neighbors think about you. Do they hear screaming and fighting at home and really hearing your voice? Do they witness you berating your husband? Yeah, ask yourself. You know, you ought to have a sweet spirit about you. You ought to smile once in a while. You ought to have some joy. I mean, you get to fulfill your God-given role within the home. The Bible says holy women, manner of life, is coupled with fear. Now, who are you supposed to fear? You're supposed to fear God. 1 Peter 3:3 says, who's adorning, let it not be the outward adorning of plaiting of the hair and wearing of gold and putting on of apparel. Now, I know there's some preachers out there and some believers who say you're not supposed to have, you know, well-coiffed hair and you're not supposed to wear jewelry and you're not supposed to wear makeup. Well, put the whole verse in there. That means they're supposed to run around naked too. Don't be a... I wasn't going to say that. But that thought crossed my mind. Now, it's interesting that God talks about chaste conversation. Then he begins to explain that it's not outward that should get the emphasis, but the inward. The emphasis on the hidden man or walking with God is given in verse 3 and 4. Whose adorning, let it not be the outward adorning of plaiting of the hair and wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart. See that? You know, you can look the part on the outside, but if the hidden man of the heart isn't being manifested, you don't have what Peter's talking about. But let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not, what? Corruptible. Even the ornament of a what? And what? Meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. You know, certain people leave no doubt that they love Jesus. The other night I was with a different group of Christians. They weren't of our particular stripe, but you could tell the people we were with had a great love for the Lord. And it was a pleasant experience to be with them. Now, the beauty of the Lord happened to be upon them. The Bible says holy women are to have a what kind of spirit? Meek and quiet. Now that doesn't only mean that you shouldn't be talking a whole lot. But it means you ought to have a peaceableness about you. Meek and quiet, what? Spirit. You are to be submissive. You are to be yielded to God. You know, so many women, and it's even infiltrated in the church, they are loud, they lead, they are not meek and quiet. You know, there's never been a church that I've been a part of that didn't have one or two of them. And there's never been a dislike for me when they were there. Now, to know me is to love me. But I don't think they liked the fact that I was the head of my home. That Connie was submissive to me. And they'd like to rise up and challenge me. And they found out that wasn't a good idea. Because I wasn't going to put up with them. I ain't their husband. And they ain't the boss of me. Meek and what? Not large and in charge. Huh. You know, there's something beautiful about that meekness and quietness. Now, meekness is not weakness. Meekness is simply your strength yielded to Christ. And the Bible says in the sight of God, it is of what? Great price. This is the ornament you ought to be wearing. And if you're not, are you a holy woman? Let me answer that. No. When God's word places the emphasis on the hidden man, and not the outward appearance. The Bible also says, however, that outward appearance needs to be modest. Does it not? The Apostle Paul wrote this to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. Now, let's remember who Paul and Timothy were. They were two male chauvinists. Right? Come on, you women who run your homes. That's what they were, weren't they? Well, anyways, these two, notice their correspondence. Paul writes, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in what? Modest apparel. You know what that word modest apparel is talking about? Loose-fitting clothing. It's not talking about tight clothing where a guy can see every lump, bump, and curve you got. With shamefacedness and what? Sobriety. You ought to be serious-minded. Not with broided hair or gold or pearl or costly array. Right? But which becometh women professing godliness with what? With good works. Now remember that every personal standard in the Christian life should come out of a desire to live a holy life. Think about how much time you spend in front of the mirror, ladies. Guys, I hope you're not that way. That you're not some pretty boy. Some metrosexual. Now, I look at some of you, you could probably spend a little more time in front of the mirror. I mean, you come in, your collar's all jacked up, Anyways, your hair's a mess. All right, John, I'm speaking about you, okay. But you spend all that time in front of a mirror, right? But how much time do you spend in prayer? You know, you spend a lot of time pampering yourselves, but how much attention do you give to your heart's condition? You know, we need to place the emphasis where God does, and it's on the inside. He places an emphasis on holiness and living a holy life. Then notice, lastly, the ministry of holy women. Now, I'm going to have to skip part of this. But I want you to understand you have a ministry to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when you read about the New Testament, you see some women who ministered to Jesus. Did they not? Now, were some of them married? Sure. But they still had a ministry to the Lord. Just because they were married did not exempt them from serving the Lord as they should. Now, you also have a ministry to your husbands. Correct? You also have a ministry to your homes. Do you realize you are responsible to guide the home? Who do you think in the home has the most influence on children? Is it the husband or is it the wife? So how many think it's imperative upon you to have that godly, holy example before your children? Or maybe your grandchildren when they're around. But you also have a ministry to each other. Uh-oh, listen to this. Titus 2, 3 through 5 says, the aged women. He said, who's that? That's those old ones. That's right. Aged women. You know, since you only live 70, I think that's probably when you reach about 50, right? 55? Whatever, Mike. You've given them more grace than I am, but that's okay. But notice what it says. The aged women likewise, they should have some wisdom about them by this time, right? That they be in behavior as becometh what? Holiness. That means you're set apart for God. That means you're set apart to do His will. Not false accusers. Uh-oh. Not given to much wine. That means you don't have any at all. Teacher of what? You should never preface anything you say with, I know what the Bible says, but. And if anyone says anything like that to you, you tell them, I don't want to hear what you got to say. Amen. Now notice, teachers of what? Good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober. That means to be what? Serious-minded, right? That means they're not supposed to be drinking wine. No, I'm... to love their what? Mm-hmm. That's your job. To love their husbands, to love their what? Now, you think that would be natural, wouldn't it? Not always the case, is it? Some women don't love their children. And you say, how do you know that? Just by the way they behave around them, or how they treat them, or how they don't look after them like they should. They love themselves too much. To be what? Well, it sounds to me like they're not supposed to be loud and proud. Running their mouth. Chaste. There's that word again, huh? Keepers on the job. Now, I'm not going to say that, you know, when, you know, my mom was always home when I was home. Now, there was times when she did work when we were at school, but she wouldn't take a job when she wasn't home when she wasn't at home when we were there. All right? I understand some need to work. I would say most don't. The husband could work harder, put in more hours if he need be, to keep the wife at home with the children. The children. Obedient to their what? To their what? Whose husbands? Their own. That's what I was getting at. You don't need to be obedient to anybody else's husband. Your own husband. How many here are married? That would be your spouse, the one you said I do to, in case you don't know. That's your husband. You are to what? Obey him. Now, in the things you find acceptable, right? No, well, come on now. Let's talk about reality. And that, come on now, not what you agree with. You are to obey him, right? Unless it contradicts what God says in his word, correct? Some of you looking at me like a calf going through a new gate. That's what it says, does it not? This isn't what Pastor Rainey wrote, did he? You know what? I'm not that smart. I couldn't have wrote that. But that's what it says, correct? That the word of God be not what? So if you're not doing any of these things that it mentions here, you're blaspheming what? Woo! That's what Ric Flair says. You're supposed to be an example to younger women. Ask yourself, as you look in that mirror and put that new coat of paint on, do I want the younger women to be the example that I'm setting forth? Or is there some imperfections that I need to work on? So I could be a better example. Now just think, if the older women were not here to be examples, what would happen to the younger women? Perhaps that's why our country in this generation is in the mess that it's in. All right, I know I took a little bit over time. Oh, came in a little late. All right.